7-day intensive seminar, School to the Master. Lecture 13, continually review, revise, reveal who I now am. As I review my brain and its potent 10,000 stem cells born daily, I can effectively take control of their results. As I review my brain and its potent 10,000 stem cells born daily, I can effectively take control of their results. It is functional and purposeful to revise my attitude about myself and my thinking system as a result of the latest scientific findings. I recognize I can only reveal that which already exists. All already exists. Hence, I choose which existence I desire to experience. Who I now am, in reality, not the human illusion, but the divine reality, the absolute reality. This is my mission for myself. Now that should be a good start for us. As I review my brain and its potent 10,000 stem cells born daily, I can effectively take control of their results, cause and effect. Up to now, we have not known specifically that we had 10,000 stem cells being born in our brain. Up to now, what we have felt and thought and been taught is that nothing happened on the growth of cells in the brain from the time that we're 3 to 5 years old. At that time, all growth of the stem cells or any kind of cells in the brain were non-existent. In fact, it was going downhill. It was sliding downhill every year. Now, isn't it interesting that in one fell swoop, they change it from going downhill to 10,000 brand new stem cells in the brain every day? My goodness. Somebody was asleep at the switch, weren't they? We mentioned earlier, science only lately has come into the research of biopsy, research of going into the body and studying the body and doing autopsies and doing research into how the body is, taking a cadaver in a medical school and cutting it to pieces and understanding how the muscles and the nerves and all things fit together. Now, if you have a house, let's call it an electric house, and your electric house is quite nice, and you have lines interweaving here and there, bringing electricity to your lights, to your clocks, to your doors, to your ovens, to your stoves, to your computers, to everything under the sun in the house. And then, all of a sudden, the power stops, whether it's cut off by the company, by the electric company, or if you have a generator and it no longer functions, it stops. So you say, it's a good chance for us to learn how the house is wired because there's no power. We won't get a shock. And so you begin looking here and there. And you say, I wonder where this wire goes. I wonder where this wire goes. And there's no electricity. There's nothing to tell. I wonder how this power works. I wonder how this does. And you have gadgets that are at one end and at the other end to tell you what the lines are doing and if there's anything, if the lines are open or closed, regardless that they don't have any electricity in them. But that's a lot of monkey business. That's a lot of studying. You know, that's a lot of research, figuring out how that works. And what do you find out when you're done? When you're done, you don't know how electricity works. You don't know how the powerhouse of the house works. All you know is how the lines are in the house. Now, all of you are acquainted enough to know that if you take a balloon and you blow it up, it gets big. If you take the air out of a balloon, it's small. If you puncture a hole in the balloon, when you've blown it up, it'll burst, or all the air will come out, depending on how strong the fabric of the balloon is. Now, this is the same that's true of a human being. A human being is made of divine circuits, circuits from one end to the other, circuits that you can tell and you can see. And when the circuits are alive, they activate, they move, they tingle, they send reports. The nerve ending sends reports to the brain, and the brain interprets this as pain or pleasure or whatever it does. Well, that's fascinating. We think that's what it's all about. And we think we have done marvelous research. And then some old codger comes along. I say old codger, maybe 5,000 years old, you know. And I mean that's 5,000 years old or more, maybe about 8,000 years old. And he says, you got it all wrong. Those things are the fundamental functional things of the operation, but they're not the operation. Your body is one great mass of meridians. You are one great mass of invisible meridians, lines of focus, lines of force, lines of connection from areas of your body that are sort of the strangest thing in the world. If you've ever read the acupressure and those sort of books, you come up with some very interesting things. And the Yellow Emperor, over 5,000 years ago, had a book, and he had it all charted. So they did some charting long before him. Somebody did a lot of research, and they found out what it was. And they could stick a pin in the ear, that's called a needle, a pin. It's not, needle and pin don't point to the right thing. They put an indicator into the ear, and that indicator touches the acupuncture nerve ending. It's not a nerve though. And that sends a focus down to the toe. You put a pin in the neck, and it will send a focus to your head, to your headache, for instance. And all throughout the body, there's books written about this and available on the market if it interests you. But acupressure is something quite marvelous. Now, what it is saying, contrary to whatever the body itself does, this is what sends the responses to the brain to bring about a result. These meridians are lines of connection between all areas of our body and the brain, but they have their special brain, you might say. They have their special communication chief and communication center. And that communication chief is what? That's right, it's our thought. That communication chief is our thought. It's in the brain, it's true, but it's our thought. Now, the communication chief of our arteries, of our nerves, of our other aspects of our body are what? Not the thought. The thought affects them, it's true, but it's the electromagnetic activity of the body itself. It's the body itself. When you step on a stone, instantly you send a pain reflex up to the brain, and the brain says, ouch, and then your toe says, ouch. But your toe doesn't say, ouch, until it sends a report to the brain that something has happened. And then the brain interprets what it is and sends it back. Now, if you're a blind man and you don't see what you stepped on, then you think you stepped on something that caused you to have an unhappy reflex. You don't necessarily know what it is. You might say it's a stone, but if you never saw a stone or never knew a stone or stone didn't exist in your vocabulary, then you might not use that word. Now, we're saying here, as I review my brain and its potent 10,000 brain stem cells born every day. Then I can take control of them. Well, no, this is true. Let's venture into an area that no one has ventured into yet, and maybe one day they will. Maybe we're off track, maybe we're on track. Let's venture into the concept that the stem cells anywhere in the body are a part of the meridian system. Interesting. The meridian system of our body is an electrical, mechanical system that keeps our body in perfect harmony and perfect order. It does not allow any area of the body to feel at ease. It does not allow you to have cancer. It does not allow you to have headaches. It does not allow you to have anything when you give power to your meridian system and recognize it. You can buy a chart that shows all the points of the meridian, and if you can figure them out and touch them, you're amazing. You can maybe get close to them, but to touch them, it really takes an artist, it really takes a master. And that's why the master Chinese doctors who work in acupuncture are very exceptional. So, now, the stem cells of our body are the undifferentiated, what is the other one? Original purity and integrity of our total being. They are that which we had at the time of birth, that which we had at the time we were born, when the stem cells were so predominant in the placenta and in the embryo and in the emerging being. And as they were there, they were given work to do. There was a universal intelligence in the birth process. Aside from the egg and the sperm, there's a universal birth process going on there, an intelligence that was telling these various stem cells what to do, what to become, the arm, the leg, the eyes, the nose, the ears, whatever. They were telling it what to do. And not only that, they were telling the billions of locations within the body of this fledgling being what it is going to be. And once in a while, it gets it wrong. In a rare while, and two heads come, you know. Once in a rare while, 2 feet come. Once in a rare while, people have 11 toes, you know. Or they have, instead of the 10, they have 12. And sometimes they have extra fingers. But these are rarities. These are where the stem cells are misdirected by some false information that has come through that the acupressure system did not have control of. It was somehow not totally active. But can you see? It is so tremendously intelligent, so tremendously accurate, that the entire body system comes out reasonable. And by reasonable, I mean one or two mistakes, if that at all. And how many bodies have come out with no mistakes at all? The majority. Now, how can that be? Well, that's because our acupressure, acupuncture system works so beautiful, it is so complete, so wonderful, that nothing touches it. Nothing does anything. It is the guiding factor. I believe it quite likely is the intelligence behind how the human body is formed and developed. Because it's an individual, it's an invisible system that you cannot see. You cannot chart by knowing it is there. You have to chart it by checking it, by testing each end. Oh boy, can you imagine testing all the ends that they had to test? And that's why it took hundreds of years to do this. And it took it by dedicated guys who, these Chinese doctors, they must have been absolutely dedicated people. But they're like our scientists. They're one-pointed on their goal. And perhaps one of these acupuncturists, maybe there's a school of them, and I'm sure there were, And in the school of acupuncturists, you handle feet, you handle legs, you handle bellies, you handle chests, you handle heads, you handle arms, you handle feet, hands, you see? And so everybody's handling a different area. And probably on the chest or on the body part, there'd be maybe a dozen guys doing it, you know. And I don't know that they've ever written anything about that. The Yellow Emperor and his report gives credit mostly to himself, you know. He doesn't say all of the work that's done by the people who came before him. He just takes credit for it. But he also indicates that there were those people who did do the work, and that he is taking credit for it. And that he did report it, and science and the world has since had that information, 5,000 years ago. But you know what we think of the Chinese. They're sort of slow and sort of, you know, backward. You know, we think of the Japanese, same thing, you know, ha-ha, what a bunch of silly people we are. But they had been held down by their government, by their society. Society would not allow them to do things. You know, in Japanese society, the woman was, in Chinese society, the woman was, in all societies, the woman was, and how wonderful that was. It gave men a chance to pretend that they knew something. And yet, behind every man, there was another man. No, behind every man, there was a woman. Behind every child was a mother. And the mother trained the boy, because boys were the only ones thought worthy of doing it, and it was the mother doing the training. But nobody else. Nobody else had time for these kids when they're at home. And the mother trained these kids in the art of genius and witchcraft and wizardry that we only laugh at. But it's real. It's real stuff. These, you think, boy, Herb, you are certainly going into a new area. Oh, not really. Wake up. The world is waking up. They're waking up to the fact that we have assets that we haven't even begun to probe, much less know anything about probing, you know? Acupuncture, acupressure, the meridians of the body, are quite thrilling. We have several books here on it. And we have the book of the Yellow Emperor and all the other things, because when I was at the Science Mind magazine, it was part of my job to write about these things and to write about the books that came out and to write about and interview people who were working in these fields. And so I had the privilege of meeting many of the people who were working in those fields, and they were quite interesting. And I tell the story about my mother, who had a difficulty, and she went to the doctor in the normal hospitals, and they told her that she had one thing. And they named all sorts of reasons why that was so, and why they couldn't correct it was beyond me. But I said, Mom, let's go see one of these acupuncturists. And so we went up to Hollywood, and we saw this one acupuncturist that I had been writing about. And we met him, and we went in there, and he says, oh, you brought your mother, huh? You did. Well, great, you know. So she sat down in the chair next to his desk, and I was sitting there, and my notebook and hand taking down notes on everything that was going on. And so he washed his hands, not especially, but just to get off of the gardening dirt where he was planting flowers and stuff like that. He wasn't trying to be sterile, but he was just off. And then he started out with my mother's feet. And he worked on her feet. And he touched three or four points. And he said, we can go all the way if you like, but this is your problem. Your problem is you have water on your lungs. Well, now, none of the doctors had diagnosed her with water on her lungs. And none of the doctors diagnosed her with any way to handle it, you know. And he said, now, if you come back and take a series of treatments, we'll take care of that in a reasonable time. Well, Mom, being the lady she was, she should have done it. She didn't. She just went back to her doctor and told her doctor, I have water in my lungs. Check and see that. I'm sure you'll find that out. You know." And she said it with such confidence. They thought, "Well, where do you know this from?" You know. And they checked it out, and lo and behold, she did. And they removed the water, and she lived for another couple of years. But the thing is, she didn't get rid of the problem. She should have gone back to that acupuncturist and let him do a full research on him. Because I was in Phoenix, Arizona, well, actually a number of other places too, and the McGarrys, Dr. Gladys and James McGarry, they were medical doctors, and one was a psychologist also, and they ran a clinic over there, a hospital-type clinic in Phoenix, and they did normal medicine and acupuncture. And they were quite excellent. And so my sister May was suffering from whiplash. You know, she had got a whiplash on her, and diabetes and other, I mean, you know, she was just enjoying all sorts of interesting things. And so I said, "May, why don't we go and visit the McGarrys over in Phoenix and let them check out your neck?" Because I was at one conference where I was speaking, and the McGarrys were working with the lady who had a whiplash, and pop, pop, gone, just like that, just by using their acupuncture. So we went to see the McGarrys, and we took Mother along. Mother was in her 70s at the time. We took her along, and this was back in 1972, 71, somewhere, 73, when 70 years old was old, you know. Today, 70 years old is nothing. But that's when it was old. So Mother went along. And they did the treatment on my sister May. They just loaded her with all sorts of needles around her neck. And they said, "You don't have whiplash." And, "Well, why do I have the symptoms of it?" "Because you think you have it. You think you have it. You went through an experience, and you were interested in getting the insurance from the accident, and you couldn't get anything because there was nothing about your body that was wrong, and so you named it a whiplash. That's what one of the doctors told you. Well, just say you got a whiplash, you know, and then you can get the insurance." I mean, everybody's trying to take the insurance companies, and that's why they make insurance so expensive. But aside from that, so May got the insurance, and then she went to the McGarrys, and they said, "You haven't got any problem. It's up here. You think you have a problem. You think you got the whiplash. You created that so that you could get the insurance. And now, what are you doing? Now you're feeling it because you think you got what you haven't got, you know." And so they worked on her, and they said to her, "Now, what is the symptom, one of the symptoms of whiplash that you have?" "Well, I can't look further than here or here." "Well, now, before the accident, how far could you look?" "Well, I could look all the way here and here." "Ooh. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh." And they didn't say anything. I mean, why take it away from her? You know, if that was her thing, they let her have it. But my mother, they worked on my mother too, and they did just beautiful things for her, because Mother now was ready for this. I had since left the Science of Mind magazine and gone into other fields, and I was with Mother up there, and we had her have the treatment from the McGarrys, and they were great. I had been with them at the Menninger Foundation for many, many years, and they were some of the researchers that were invited to attend the foundation along with me and 76 others, 77 of us every year for many years. And it was quite a good experience, because we had medical doctors, we had scientists, we had new thought people, we had researchers of all kinds, and a lot was learned. But the biggest thing that came out of all this research with the Menninger Foundation and with the International Congresses of Parapsychology and Psychotronics that are held around the world, all that's been learned is that it's mostly the mind. It's mostly our thoughts. It's mostly what we are doing. Now, corresponding to that, we have the meridians of the body. The meridians of the body are activated by thought or by physical action. Because if you step on something, you send a signal, but basically through the nerve system, not through the meridian system. The meridian system is a balancing, cleansing system. You might remember that. The meridian system of the body is a balancing, cleansing system. It is operated on mostly by thought. It is used by people, doctors, who want to activate it quickly by using their acupressure, acupuncture systems. Acupressure is where you use your fingers and you touch the area, and it's like giving a foot massage or something else like that. And acupuncture is where you take a needle and actually insert it into the skin a fraction of an inch, but just enough to reach the area of the meridian. And then they have moxibustion, I think it's called. And moxibustion is where they have little glass jars with a little top on it, and they heat that up, and then they put that over the skin, and it draws the skin up into it, and this is gives you a treatment much like the needle, and of course you come off of it with a bunch of little red pimples all over you, which go away quickly. But the thing is, magic happens. It's just when we saw the things that they did, and the way in which they handled people, and their lives being totally changed, we were believers. We didn't have them do it on us because we didn't have any problems. And I mean, that's terrible to go to a doctor and learn all these things and not have any problems to have them do something about it. But thank God. So we learned all these things and we practiced all these things and we experienced all these things, and they were great. They were just great because now we had more tools in our chest. And we didn't know that it was white stem cells in the brain, as far as we know right now, that are doing all the work. But they're doing the work based upon what work we expect them to do. If we call forth the white stem cells, the stem cells is sufficient. If we call forth the stem cells of our brain and we tell them, this is the task I have for you, the stem cells will go right to work and do it because they don't care. It doesn't bother them one little bit, not one little bit, what they have to do. It's just like a child. You say to a child, we're going to go to Disneyland. Oh, goody, goody, goody. What's Disneyland? You know, we're going to go to Lego Park. Oh, goody, what's Lego Park? You know, we're going to go to Yosemite. Oh, goody, what's Yosemite? We're going to go to the ocean. Oh, good, that's water, you know. Wait, what's the ocean, you know? And we're going to go to visit Grandma. Oh, does she have ducks and sheep and chickens and pigs and cows? Nope. That's the other grandma. Oh, okay, what does this grandma have? She just has a big yard full of flowers. Oh, let's go there. I like flowers, you know. And, you know, they don't say no. They just say, hey, let's go for the adventure. And we can do the same thing. Now, the children go and have the adventure and have the joy, and they excite themselves so much in it, and they just roll and play and jump and stay and just have a wonderful, wonderful day. It's just super what they do. And when they're done, they lay down, no matter on the grandma's living room floor or on the bed or on the car seat, and whoonk, they're gone. They're off in another world, and they're rejuvenating and remembering perhaps all the wonderful time they had. And then when they get home, well, they're ready to go to bed, but not really, but you can encourage them. But the thing is, you see, they have that readability. They are ready to go and join in with whatever the program is. And this is why, if we think of our stem cells as little children, ready to go and play and join in with whatever it's called for the day, musical, wonderful things will happen. Now, think of your stem cells and think of them being where they are in the brain, and think of your toe. Well, now, your toe is connected to the brain by your nervous system. Any sensation on your toe or in your toe, you feel because you feel it in your brain. If I pinch my toe, my brain says, you just pinched your toe. Now, big deal. But it is a big deal, because this is a communication system that works beautiful. Do you know, amazingly enough, and this will merely indicate to you how mechanical things are, a man can have his leg cut off, right at his ankle or anywhere, and then they can sew it back on again. They can sew the leg back on again and knit together all of the nerve endings to know where they all go, you know, and what they do. Knit the nerve endings back together, sew together all the arteries and the veins that in the blood system, plus the capillaries. Of course, they can't begin to sew them back together. They just exist without really too much activity. And then there are many other things, the muscles, the tendons, the flesh itself, and the skin, and all the things that have to be done. But now, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool. You think, well, that's nature to nature, a leg to leg. The leg was cut off, so you put this back. Well, right now, in the current science, Popular Science magazine, I believe it is, they have a whole series of new bionic gadgets. Bionic arms, hands, fingers, nose, bionic eyes, bionic ears. Bionic ears, yes. Bionic ears. They get in there and they put a chip in there, and that chip allows them to hear more beautifully than they ever heard in their life, and with just as much control or more. It's fantastic what they do. They can put on a new foot, and the foot is mechanical, of course, but the foot will do anything else. They connect the foot bionically to the nerves in the leg itself, so that the leg sends the reports back and forth through the nervous system, just as though the foot were actually still there. Amazing. Now, it's not so amazing when you think another step along the road. And another step along the road is when you think about what happens when you take a knife and you cut off the ends of a leaf. And then you take your Carillion photography device and you photograph that leaf. And that leaf has the tips that were cut off there, because the energy body is still there. Our real body is our energy body. It is still there. When I was at UCLA writing stories on this with Thelma Moss, who was the head of the department there, she had the Carillion photography equipment there and took pictures of all of us, of all of our hands, and showed the tremendous vibrations and the auras around our hand. She says, oh, you got a healing hand, oh, you got an intelligent hand, you know, that type of things that we were interested in, basically. And one person lost a finger, and she photographed the hand, and the finger was there. The finger was there. Electronically, the finger was there. The energy body was still there. Now, could we reinstitute our finger from our energy body? Well, that may not be today, but quite likely that'll be tomorrow. Because today they are doing such magical things with the bionic research, with the research of coupling mechanical devices to a human body. Now, this may startle you and surprise you and amuse you, but they first worked with animals. They first made bionic feet for animals. They take a dog and put a bionic foot on him. They didn't make a big fuss over it, but they learned how to work with bionics, mechanics, and the nerve system and help a dog do it. And a horse, and a few other animals. But as I say, they did not make a lot of publicity on it because they didn't want science to get research money to do that. They wanted to get research money to do it with people. So then they had volunteers who were willing to have it be done with them. And these volunteers had amazing things happen to them. If you were in the field, you would be reading about it, but you're not, and I'm not. But I have still read about it because I read in the ancillary fields. Okay. What goes on when these things happen. When these things happen, they are merely calling forth the white stem cells to reiterate themselves down through the systems and perfect themselves. Now, it will be, you'll hear later, it will be the white cells, the stem cells, are the ones that regenerate the limbs of the body when the limbs are gone. In a chameleon, they haven't done the research on this yet, but they will, in a chameleon that regenerates its own tail after it's been broken off, and some animals have regenerated their limb after it's been broken off, been bit off by something or other, and a such an anxiety-ridden experience caused them to grow it back on. And it's amazing. But we'll find that we'll do that for ourselves. We'll find that rather than to have problems in our body, we'll just regenerate that area of our body and have it be whole and perfect. Now, that's exactly what we're saying here. We're saying here that the stem cells are able to do that. As I review my brain and its potent 10,000 stem cells daily, I can effectively take control of their results. Now, how do we take effective control of the results of the brain cells in our body? Well, this is how we have been doing it. What we have been doing is to say, I'm whole and perfect. And to the degree that we had the confidence in that, to that degree our stem cells went to work and reproduced it. To the degree that we say, my hand is whole and perfect. Well, we look at Dorothea. Dorothea went through a very tragic burn reconstruction job on her body. And because she had such a charming attitude about herself, because she had such a will to live and a will to look beautiful and a will to have a good body, she did. They did a a rather extensive covering of her body with skin and everything else. And when you look at her now, she looks a little patchy, but she is perfect. She's perfect. And if she were to treat her skin with a few lotions and go in the sun and tan a little bit, you would probably never know that there had been any injury at all on her. She's just amazing. But she didn't even know the rule at the time. All she knew was she wanted to live, and she wanted to live in a good body, and she liked herself. And those are, of course, the primary ingredients for healing and wholeness. And if any of you have any healing and wholeness, then you can do that too. If you feel arthritis in your hand, you say, this hand is now regenerated with all the white stem cells, with all the stem cells, not all the stem cells, the stem cells of my brain are regenerating every organ action function of my hand, every cell in my body, every bit of my nerves, you name the stuff, you know. It's all these muscle cells and all these arteries and veins and nerve endings and things like that. And then, la, 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 out comes, excuse me, I didn't mean to disturb your sleep there, Rex, but out comes the perfect hand. See? Out comes a perfect hand. And you love it. You recognize it. But you see, what we've been doing, and Gregor is one of the worst offenders of this here, we have been using our body as a sledgehammer. We want to pound a nail in, we don't have a hammer, we go boom, boom, boom with our hand, you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, how many people do you know, and you don't have to admit too many, but how many people do you know who open bottles of soda water with their teeth? You know? I mean, it's not uncommon, unfortunately. And how many people chip their beautiful teeth and don't even realize they're chipping them, or that they loosen them, or that they in any way endanger the teeth from being eternal with them? We say, well, why aren't our teeth eternal? You know, why aren't our everything about our body eternal? It is. But we treat it like an something with obsolescence built into it. We treat it like it's going to be obsolete. You know, it gets old. And, you know, when it gets to be 90 or 100 years old, then you dump it and you get a new one, you know. Well, why not just keep it in good condition? Right, Heinz?
Right.
Keep it in perfect condition. I always say every organ, action, function of my body is perfect right now. Every organ, action, function of my body is perfect right now. Every organ, action, function of my body is perfect right now. Say it, say it, say it. Believe it, believe it, believe it. Know it. And then your stem cells are going to go acting in that way. They'll say, tra-la, 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 we're out to have fun with all these perfect organs, actions, functions. Hey, you guys, you're all perfect. You know, you're all perfect. You're all perfect. And the guys look up and they look at the stem cells and say, you are cuckoo. And the stem cell says, no, we aren't. We got a power. You watch and we'll use that power on you and you'll be so happy. And they say, well, what the heck? Nothing ventured, nothing gained. And so they say, go ahead, stem cell, do your thing. And so the stem cell says, abracadabra, shishkumba, be ye perfect, na, 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 you know? And so every cell in the body is perfect. Every cell is wonderful. Every cell is beautiful. And by choice, effective use of our stem cells. Now, if you have a hammer, and you have a screwdriver, and you have a wrench, and you have a nail that's larger than usual, and your hammer won't knock the nail in, your screwdriver certainly is no good, and your wrench is ungainly to do it. So what does a creative Gregor do? Or Heinz, too. You're a mechanical genius, too. Heinz, what would you do if you needed a heavier hammer to pound that nail in? And you had what I told you have, the screwdriver, the hammer, and the wrench. What would you do? Anyone else want to say it more quickly? You would, You would tie the wrench to the hammer, and then you'd pound with the hammer. The wrench would give the hammer more weight, like a heavier hammer, and it would go in better, right? Mm. Isn't that what you thought about?
Oh.
That's just what you thought too, isn't it? What did you think of?
I don't
get it real. That's not an alternative. That's not an alternative. You see, if you're going to not play the game by running into other areas, you're not going to learn the program. And if you're not going to learn the program, you won't be able to apply it in your life. Because if you're just going to go out and get alternatives all the time, and that's not going to do it either. You see, that will not get your nail in there. That'll get a hole in there, and you still got to put the nail in there. And if you make the hole too big with the drill and you put the nail in, then the nail goes blip, 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 blip. If you put it too small, then you still got the same thing of pounding it in. So you got to get your drill just the right fractional distance to let the hammer get the nail in there. Now, we work with the tools we got. My dad was a good workman. He was frugal, and all the tools we had were multi-purpose. And he taught us how to use them in many different ways, in many different effectivities. And so he taught us to be imaginative. Now, if I said, Dad, you're being imaginative, you know, you're using your imagination, you know, you're playing games. He would say, oh, come now, that's foolishness. No, I'm serious. This is the way to do it. This is intelligent, you know. This is, my mind says this is intelligent. Well, where'd your mind get the idea? Well, I'm thinking and I'm intelligent, you know. But if you were to say to him, that's your imagination, you know. You're playing games, you're having fun, you know. You're using your creativity. I am not. You see? This is the old school. But nonetheless, they used their creativity, but they wouldn't give creativity the credit for using them. Now, you and I are using our stem cells, but we don't give the stem cells the credit for doing it. Now, your response, Heinz, was excellent because it showed exactly where you're coming from. And I would recommend that you play this game to get the benefit from it. Stay by the rules. The rule is you have three ways of working on it, and these three ways are the only ways you have. You can combine them or work them out or do whatever you want. Now, if Heinz is Harry Potter, he could say, bonk! In, you know. Or he says, I don't need nails to hold things in place. They are held in place by my attitude, you know. And I create this super glue invisible super glue that no one can see, only me. And I put the super glue on the places, and I can take any place that I've taken that I've put the super glue on to see, and it'll be perfect and even watertight, and it'll do anything. Now, that's another game. But the game that we're playing is to use your natural creativity with what you have. And that's the fun of it. That's the fun of it. If you were in Alice in Wonderland, then you would take these birds. What kind of birds were they? They were ones from Knoxbury, Disneyland, and down in Florida. They use them at the park, the race park. The heron or something like that, or they're pink birds, you know.
Flamingo,
yeah, the flamingo. Now, what did the queen use the flamingo for?
For playing a game.
For playing what?
Croquet.
And she held the flamingo by the foot and used their head as a mallet to hit the ball and knock it through the loops. And what was the ball?
A hedgehog.
And what did the hedgehog do? He looked up, he saw the club coming, and he started running. He wasn't going to get hit. And then he rolled. And when he saw it coming again, he started running again. Now, I mean, that's creativity. That's imagination. That's silliness. But it's silliness at a very high intellectual degree. Very, very exquisite. And this is where I want each one of you to be. We've talked about these protheses, and we've talked about the type of prothesis, which is a bio system, and how wonderful they are. Yeah, must remember to bring the magazine along this afternoon, show it to you. But the thing is, what they're doing today is beautiful. It's just gorgeous what they're doing today. And they're making it, but they wouldn't have to. They wouldn't have to. Now, I have a friend who is in prison, who was a naughty boy, and the guard shot him in the knee, and he lost his leg. He was amputated. Poor child. Always getting himself in trouble. So then, that's not bad enough. Then he creates himself having trouble with the other foot. And he loves to run. So he got himself a prosthesis for one leg, and he was running. But the other leg kept decaying. The toe kept going, this kept going, and pretty soon he had to fix up something so he could run, because he wanted to run. And here he is in prison. He has virtually nothing to do all day long. Maybe go and teach a class that he teaches on helping GED courses in learning education. And then he comes back to his cell and maybe watches television with his cellie or something. Now, he has really no disturbance. He could sit on his bunk, and he could say, perfect foot, 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 perfect foot. I think he could probably do it a little better than I can. And kiss his foot, and hug his foot, and snuggle his foot, and say, perfect foot. And even if it were partly missing, perfect foot, perfect foot. And see it all there, and feel it all there. Perfect foot, perfect foot, you know? He could re-demonstrate, or period, demonstrate that perfect foot. There's no reason why he couldn't, if he really wanted to. But he is told by his medical authorities that you've lost it, you're going to lose more, this is going to go, that's going to go, you're in terrible shape, this. And he's held up very well, regardless of all that nonsense. But if he would do this, which I have suggested to him, if he would sit on his bunk or whatever, and the bunks are too high, you know, maybe about 2 feet wide, and there's not much space, but if you would just sit there and say, my perfect foot, my perfect foot, my perfect foot, my perfect foot, go to sleep saying perfect foot, wake up saying it perfect, you know what would happen? I would never remember that he had a problem. I would never remember that he had a problem. Nobody around him would remember that he had a problem. He wouldn't remember that he had a problem, but he'd be the nice guy that he's developing himself into. And he would have a perfect foot. Now, we have more spiritual healings in our world than we know of. And these spiritual healings are when these people have unconsciously put these stem cells to work en masse on something tremendously important to them. The Chinese doctors in this laboratory, working for this wealthy family who are wasting nothing to have their son helped, and their son is in a critical condition where he is not able to recognize anybody, he's not able to do many things, he can't touch you or anything like that, but he's alive. And it's a brain problem. And so they are giving him a shot of a ton of stem cells in the brain. And then he goes home and waits. And after each shot now, after each shot, he can do more. He can see more. He can reach out and touch people. He can be sensitive to the world around him. And they're hoping that more shots will bring more results. Now, maybe we should tell them what we think. Or maybe we should just see the kid ourselves, whole and perfect. See him enjoying his wholeness and perfection. And we don't need, want, or get
what?
The credit for it. And magic takes place. You see, much of our difficulty in life is that we want to get the credit for things. And because we want to get the credit for things, we're missing out. We're not getting all of the joy and all the harmony and all the peace and all the goodness that we could have because we want to get the credit. The stem cells are doing the work. We merely direct traffic. This way, that way. 20 of you guys go over here, and one guy over here, this guy, you take care of the heart. Just one for that big old heart, that's all he needs. Once he's ticking right, he's ticking right, and he's ticking for life. And now, you take care of the lungs. One for the lungs? Yeah. In goes the good air, and out goes the bad air. You know, that's all. And you're going to go down, and you're going to send the rest of the bad air out that's hanging around down there, and the toxins that are hanging around there. Say, go, guys, no room for you here anymore. I'm moving in. I'm a pure stem cell, and I am so pure that if you guys stay around here, you're going to be pure. Now, if you want to be pure, stay. If you don't want to be pure, go. And so, you see, they go because they don't know what it is to be pure. And they go. No fight. The bad guys don't fight to stay bad. They just only know what is considered bad or not beneficial, and so that's what they are. Now, if they knew beneficial and that was their role, that's what they'd play. The stem cells are told what their role is, and that's what they play. And that's what you're doing, too. Well, we have the first portion of our lecture done in an hour. That's pretty good. But I think we've done pretty nicely. It is functional and purposeful to revise my attitude about myself and my thinking system as a result of the latest scientific findings. Now, that was the illustration with Heinz. With Heinz and the drill. See, he said the drill was the latest scientific findings, and I said, Heinz, we're not there yet. We're pre-drill. We're only wrench, hammer, and screwdriver. And that's all you got to use. Or the mind. Now, Heinz had said, I see it done. What could we say? You know? That's always been there. Okay, I recognize I can only reveal that which already exists, and all already exists. Hence, I must choose which existence I desire to experience. Do you want to go into acupuncture and acupressure? Do you want to follow the meridians of your body, the meridians of life? You know, speaking of meridians, they exist far more than just the body. Where else are they?
On the earth.
On the earth. And do the meridians always stay in the same place on the earth?
No, they move.
Why do they move? Well, they're like the North Pole, you know. It constantly is moving. It's constantly moving in its location across the Earth, so north to south. Because the North Pole moves but a hair fraction here and there, it makes it quite large at the center of the Earth. Here, it's as much as 30 degrees, and that's a lot. So if you have a magnetic compass bearing of a certain amount at our location right here, give a year, and it's liable to be quite different. Quite different. And it depends on the condition of the Earth, the magnetic storms, and all the other activities that are taking place in the sun and the moon and with the gravitational pull. My goodness sakes, this is an interactive organization, isn't it? That's true. And that's what our body is, an interactive, functioning, beautiful thing. Who I now am in reality, not the human illusion, but the divine reality, the absolute reality. This is my mission for myself. My mission for myself is to be what? Be myself and have fun, yeah. But my mission for myself...
Be my original purity and integrity.
Yes. My mission for myself is to be my original purity and integrity. Be myself and have fun, and be my original purity and integrity. Be myself and have fun, and be my original purity and integrity. Now, why do I repeat that? Because the original purity and integrity, yes, 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 the original purity and integrity is what we want to be ourself as. We're not ourself as a naughty little boy or girl. We are ourself as an exquisite being, an exquisite child, a good child that you look at and you say, isn't that a nice child? It's not necessarily perfect etiquette and perfect this, perfect that. It's a child that absolutely loves itself and lives harmoniously with itself, doesn't try to pressure anybody else to do something different than it wants done. It just goes and does what it likes to do and also works harmoniously with the society and within which it lives. It's pretty exciting. Okay. We will take our pause, and then we'll come back with Lecture 14, I Train Myself in Unconditional Love, in Absolute Love. That'll be fun. Have a good pause.
Thank you.